Well, if you would, please, let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm, one of the Psalms, Psalm 67. Psalm 67. I've been spending time in the Psalms over the past several months, and on the PA site, on the study nights, they've been going through some of the Psalms, and it's pretty awesome. But when I wake up in the morning, this is just me. This is something that I do. I spend time praying, but I'll spend time with at least one psalm and just spend time with it before I go on maybe looking at other things or reading some other things. But there's a heart to the psalms. These are the lives of people. I'm sometimes crying to their God, sometimes joying in their God, sometimes wondering, but it's just life. I mean, to me, it's like, it's just life. But you see time and time again, God's blessing and how he comes through, even when it looks like it's not going to. Boom, there it is, because he is faithful. So I was looking at this psalm, and I think we're going to read through this, and we're not going to look at the whole psalm, but I do want to spend a little time with a couple of the beginning verses. But let's read this together. It says, God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Verse 2. That, and this is really beautiful. We're going to take a look at this verse 1 in a minute, but in this psalm, it's a prayer, and it is asking for these blessings from God, and the purpose is that, verse 2, thy way may be known upon earth. Isn't that beautiful? That thy way might be known upon earth, thy saving health or thy salvation among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. And this is sort of a result of knowing God or seeing his salvation, his saving power. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Rather than this prayer being about the psalmist, it was about the glory of God. Now, in this psalm, it is a looking forward, and we'll see a little bit more about this in a minute. It is a looking forward to God's rulership on the earth, which will take place through his son, Messiah, Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ prayed, thy will in heaven, or thy will on earth be done as it is in heaven. That day will come when Jesus Christ is going to rule and God is going to carry out, and all of this will be fulfilled in Christ. It's pretty amazing. But I want to take a few minutes with these first couple of verses. In verse 1, It says, God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Every one of us need God's mercy. All men, we all need God's mercy. It would be mercy if God simply withheld judgment and left us alone. But what's being asked here is mercy and a blessing. Isn't that something? And it really speaks to the nature of our God, and we're going to see this as we go. It would be like, you know, picture this. You're in front of a judge, and you're pleading for mercy. You're pleading for mercy, and he gives you mercy. And then you say, okay, now, can you bless me? But that's the nature of our God, see? And then this last phrase, it says, and cause his face to shine upon us. This is part of a blessing or a benediction that was given to Aaron. Okay, and you can read it. You can turn there if you like. It's in Numbers 6. Numbers 6. You know what? I think I'll turn there too. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. And we'll just read it together, and then we'll go through a couple of things. All right. Numbers 6, verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. I think most of you have probably heard this. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. In verse 22, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, on this wise shall you bless the children of Israel. This is, in the context, this was a blessing to the whole nation of Israel, as opposed to the special blessing that comes before it by taking a vow, specifically the Nazarite vow. The condition of God blessing, beginning in verse 22, is really based on his having chosen Israel and based on his covenant with Abraham. Isn't that beautiful? So this was something that was being freely given, freely offered to the children of Israel. And it says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The word bless, it's a word indicating God's desire to bring good and significance to his people, to make their lives worthwhile, fruitful, and their relationship with him remarkable. Here the whole nation, as he had reached, here he's blessing the whole nation or offering this to the whole nation, as he had originally done with Abram and Sarai, when he said, I will be your God and I will bless you. The word keep It means to set a hedge about, or to guard, or to protect. In verse 25, it says, "The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee." This "make his face to shine upon thee," it indicates the pleasure, the great pleasure of being in the presence of God. And Israel, and this was God's heart for Israel, they would have a sense of that presence of God via how he would bless them. And it would be seen by others, which we're going to get to here. This word gracious, you can translate it merciful. It's a neat word because its root word, it comes from a word meaning to stoop down to help an inferior. It's kind of a neat picture, isn't it? God stooping down to help, to show his mercy. And that's what's being said here. God would be there. God would be their help. In verse 26, it says, "The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." Now, there's a sort of a picture being drawn here, an illustration. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. When you would come before a king, or you would come before a ruler, it was the highest judge, the final judgment. When you would come before and plead or bring your case or your complaint or whatever it is before this monarch. And the monarch or that judge many times wouldn't even look at you. He would just simply listen. Or he might look at you in a none too happy way. Right? But what this verse is drawing, or the picture that's being drawn, is that God is looking upon you and smiling. See, that's what this is. Isn't that cool? Lift his countenance upon you. Isn't that a great picture? And, of course, give thee peace. And this word peace, it's a lot more than an absence from strife or an absence from war. That's many times how this word is used. But this word, peace, it is, in addition to those things, it is a prosperity. It is a doing well. It is all things are well with you. That's what this word communicates. Not just an absence of strife, you know, between you and another person or whatever. But it's life. It's living. It's full days. It's health. It's freedom from fear. It's all those things. That's this word. See, and that's what God desired for his people. Peace. And then it says in verse 27, "And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Huh. His name on them, what that is, its meaning, or its basic meaning, is that they would manifest this benediction, showing them to be identified with the true God. The nations would see the fruitfulness, the blessing upon Israel, the Israel of God, and they would identify, they would know, they would see God. Now, back in Psalm 67, he prayed, citing this benediction, that the nations or that the peoples of the earth might know your ways. Isn't that something? To know your ways, to see who this God is, to know this God. And Israel, if you remember, you know, they turned, didn't last. But boy, when they were going into the promised land, boy, that fear or that reverence of God went before them. And the people in these lands had no strength. Oh boy, here they come. You know, there was just, they knew this God. And that these were the people of the true God. See, isn't that something? And that was God's desire for Israel. And that desire, that promise, those blessings, all of these things, they will be fulfilled one day. Romans 9 talks about it. Though that covenant and those promises made to Abraham will absolutely be fulfilled. Everything that was promised. But it's referring to a future time when Jesus Christ will return. And there's a lot of places we could turn into the Old Testament to read about that. But it's Jesus Christ reigning on the earth. And we will be with him. We'll stop there with that. That's one of those subjects you could really have some fun with. Yeah, I mean, Romans 8 talks about it. The whole earth groans. You know, it's a time when that earth will be restored. Colossians talks about it. You know, in whom our life is hid when we return with him. Then, boom, he'll be revealed, manifest. There'll be no mistaking who Jesus Christ is at that time. And there's no mistaking who we are at that time. It's really something. So these things will be fulfilled. But for you and I, really for all who have believed on Jesus Christ, all of these things that we read about, what God's desire was for his people, we have in Christ. We gained when we were transferred from the exercised power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, according to Colossians. There will come a day when Jesus Christ himself will rule on the earth. But in the meantime, this kingdom of God or this church, this body of Christ is for now where heaven and earth meet. And it is those who have called on the name of Jesus Christ in whom the true God is known, whom the true God is seen. See? Let's just look at a few verses here in light of some of these things, and I think it'll bless you. It's pretty simple. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians. Okay. I got to take my time with Ephesians. They stick together. In light of blessing and keeping. In verse 3 or in verse 2 of Ephesians, grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. And then it's in love, having predestinated us. See, like we heard in Manifestations. Unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. And these blessings are in light of God's intimate knowledge of what we need, of what is good for us, the higher good. Sometimes, you know, the flesh, we kind of define blessings as, you know, easy life, kind of cash, you know, everything I need, no trouble. No, it's far greater than that. It's far greater than that. It is those blessings have to do with us manifesting our Lord Jesus Christ and making known God. Those blessings are God's sea of grace, which enables us to walk with him, his working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, it's amazing. And he's blessed us with all these things. You know, in the prayer and psalm, it was that they may know your ways, that they might praise you, God. And Jesus Christ taught in John 15 that you might bear much fruit, for herein is my Father what? He's glorified. When we walk in these things, God's glorified. It brings attention. It brings honor to the true God. See? That's God's desire for each one of us. And no matter what it looks like by the senses. Keep thee, guard thee. In 1 Peter 1, verse 3. You know what? I'm going to read it. You can turn there if you like. First Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God, verse 3, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us, or born us again, unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, can't be touched, doesn't degrade, and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through believing for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This word kept means to guard, to protect, to set a hedge about. Keep in Psalm 67 means to guard, to protect, to set a hedge apart, see, about. So these things that we read that was God's desire for his people all along have been simply given us in Christ. to make his face shine unto you and gracious unto thee. Galatians 4:9, it says that it talks about knowing God, but rather that you are known of God. God knows you. He knows who you are. Jesus Christ, it says also in Galatians, he died for you. Isn't that something? Sacrificed himself for you, forgave you. He forgave me. It's personal. It's personal. It's just amazing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want to read that. We're almost done. Isn't it neat to see how Jesus Christ fulfilled these things? In verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 4, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this age hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Isn't that something? Then it says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You know, we read in Numbers about causing his face to shine upon you. God has blessed, God has fulfilled these things through Jesus Christ. It's all through Jesus Christ or in Christ. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm sorry. No, yeah, Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to stay in Ephesians here. You know, back in Numbers where it talked about the Lord lift up his countenance. You know, in that illustration that's being drawn. It says in Ephesians 1, we're in the beloved. He sees us as perfect. He sees us as he sees Christ. That's how he sees us. And these things that he's given, or these things that he's made available, his grace, his mercy, all of these things that we read about, were simply done because of what Jesus Christ did. And nothing on our part. These are blessings. He's put, in Numbers we read, he would put his name, or they would put his name on Israel. You and I have been marked. We're sealed. We've been sealed with Holy Spirit. We belong to God. We're separated out from the world, sanctified unto him. In Ephesians 2, having abolished in his flesh the enmity or the hostility, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two, one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. We are at total peace with God. And this peace isn't just simply the absence of hostility. It comes with all spiritual blessings. It comes with being seated in the heavenlies. It comes with the promise of the hope. Isn't that amazing? So that's our Father. That's the Father we walk with. You know, when I read that psalm, one of the things that I thought about was His request for mercy, his request for blessing, not for him, but that ultimately God would be glorified. Think about that. You know, that is sort of an eyes up view on prayer, isn't it? You know, oftentimes when we pray and God says, cast our cares to him. But we subtly at times allow it to become about ourselves. Bless me. Bless me. Bless me. I need this. You know. But the heart of the psalmist was that I might bear fruit so that you are glorified. That was the honest heart behind it, the honest motive. Isn't that something? And that's the heart we can have. It's just kind of an eyes up. See? Let's go to Ephesians 1. I think we'll close there. Philippians 3 talks about, and you guys know that scripture, holding the word of life that we might shine as lights in the world, shine as lights in this dark and perverse age, holding the word of life. That word lights is actually luminaries. It's kind of cool. In this dark age, in this dark time, we shine. We draw the attention. It's boom. People can see, people can look. When we hold that word of life, meaning we walk in light of that word of life. See? And when we do that, we make known our Lord Jesus Christ. We make known God, so that others can have an opportunity to experience what you've experienced, experience what I've experienced. You know, as far as getting to know God a little bit, knowing a little bit about Jesus Christ, it's pretty awesome. See, to be set free from the bondage of the fear of death and to have a hope to look forward to. Boy, you know, to be without hope, it's hard enough with hope. Right? So, Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 9 says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, or in him, Christ, that in the administration, the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, which first trusted in Christ, in whom you also, after that you heard the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation or deliverance, in whom also that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit, the promise, which is the earnest or the token, the deposit of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your believing in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And then there's this great prayer. But in this prayer, what's revealed, it's God's desire for us right now. This is now. This is in the church. This is in the one body. This is his desire. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. See? In the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding or your heart being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power or His ability to prevail. You know, that kind of knowledge, that kind of peace, that kind of assurance, it issues from knowing Him. Knowing who our God is. Knowing who our Father is. And that we belong to Him. And truly believing that. Which He wrought in Christ, that prevailing power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. And set Him His own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all and in all. That's one of those scriptures. It's one of these sections you read, it's like, because it was all just given. You know, it says we're the purchased possession. You know, He chose Israel. Not because they were many, not because they were great, but He loved them. You and I have been purchased by the sacrifice of His Son. Isn't that amazing? It cost God tremendously, and it was freely given, which is God's nature. We saw it all the way back in Numbers. Aaron, this is what I want you to do. Blessing, I will bless you. See? Always His heart. And that's our God. And it says in Hebrews, we can come boldly before the throne of grace and mercy to find help. Grace and help in time of need. Isn't that something? So, this is how we see ourselves. This is how we see one another. And we have a great opportunity in living these things and really incorporating these things in our life to the end that we manifest Christ in our marriages, you know, in raising our kids, in our relationships. We just grow in it. We grow in it. We get better at it. And then in the meantime, we help one another to do this. You know, there's forgiveness. There's mercy. We're lovers of mercy. We're lovers of grace as God's kids, just as God is. See? And those are the things that manifest who our Father is, who our Lord is. So, amen. So may the Lord cause His face to shine upon you. All right, I'm going to pray. Father, thank You for Your word and all that we have in Christ. How that, Father, we can walk these things. We can live and believe these things. And that, Father, we can bring others unto a knowledge of Your greatness, Your mercy, Your grace. Our Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done and just how awesome it is and how thankful we are, Father, to know these things. In His name we pray. Amen.